Hello and welcome to Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney. Coming up in today's programme.
45 years ago when Scotland was forming its General Teaching Council, we were forming a council in a small country which thought separately, which was very distinct from England and didn't really have to worry about other parts of the world. We're now in a global world where everything that we do is in connection and communication with every other part of the world.
We will interview Tony Finn, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the General Teaching Council for Scotland. But first, we go to Barry Hennessy for his look at news in Irish education over the last week. You're welcome, Barry.
Hello again, Sean. Well, our main story this week is a work in progress. Last December, Inside Education reported on the main education measures in Budget 2010, which included a commitment to provide a total of 1,430 new teaching posts over 3 years. No fewer than 1,280 of these posts were due to come on stream this autumn, or by this autumn, at both primary and post-primary level. Well, this week we sent a list of questions to the Department of Education and Skills in a bid to check up on the filling of these posts and, crucially, to try to ascertain the number of new teachers and, in particular, recent graduates who'll find a place in the classroom this autumn as a result of the commitments given in the revised programme for government. We're still waiting for an answer. However, it does appear that the government has to date kept its promises, at least in terms of the number of whole-time equivalent posts in the system. At post-primary, informed sources have told this programme that there'll be ongoing improvements to the staffing picture in schools throughout September. Many schools have been allocated additional hours on a provisional basis, and these will be confirmed over the coming weeks as principals report their actual enrolment figures to the department. This is particularly the case regarding the 330 posts promised to alleviate the pressures caused by rising enrolment in schools. What remains to be seen is just how many unemployed teachers will yet find a place in a school for this year. Our sources indicate that much of the remaining recruitment will involve bumping up the timetables of part-time teachers already sitting in the staff room. Nonetheless, there's some evidence of ongoing external recruitment here in the Dublin area. County Dublin VEC has today advertised a number of posts still to be filled in its schools, and we understand that teachers on its mailing list received an email from the VEC late last night, the third such communication in recent months. Inside Education will continue to closely monitor the filling of teaching posts over the coming weeks, but we'd appreciate your help. If you're a teacher looking for a job, or perhaps even a principal seeking to recruit, we'd really appreciate your perspective on the situation out there. You can email us here at insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie, or leave a comment if you're listening back on our website, and we promise that we'll treat any sensitive information you give us in strict confidence. Well, next to industrial relations matters, and in mid-August on this programme, the new General Secretary of the ASTI, Pat King, gave the first indication yet that ASTI members may vote again on the Croke Park pay agreement. Members of both the ASTI and TUI rejected the public sector deal in the spring. Well, next weekend, the 180 members of the ASTI's Central Executive Council will meet to debate a motion that proposes the suspension of ongoing industrial action while the union leadership engages in what it terms intensive negotiations with the department. Such a move is sure to be welcomed by parents, as it would mean a return to parent-teacher meetings outside school hours. The ASTI leadership is seeking clarification on all of the contentious issues in the Croke Park deal, including redeployment, the proposed extra hours work, and the all-important review of the teaching contract. Inside Education understands that there is real concern in trade union circles regarding the government's response should teachers' rejection of the deal be allowed to stand. It's feared that in the absence of a comprehensive agreement, the government may adopt a more aggressive approach to redeployment than is currently envisaged. The effect of this could raise the spectre of redundancies among department-paid staff for the first time in schools whose staffing levels cannot quickly be brought back into quota. Now, crucially, the motion before the ASTI's executive next weekend calls for the outcome of negotiations with the department to be put to a ballot of members, the clearest possible indication that whatever happens, ASTI members will be having a second say on Croke Park at some point over the coming months. And we will, of course, have the outcome of that ASTI meeting for you on next week's programme. Well, finally for now, there's been a lot of talk over the past couple of weeks about the cost of school books and materials for the new term. It's an annual issue, but there's no doubt that the difficult economic climate has given it a new impetus. Well, now a Kerry publisher says he'll be offering a full range of textbooks by next summer, with none of them costing more than €12. The Walsh Colour Print Company of Castle Island has launched a new website called educate.ie and is already marketing a range of textbooks, although none of them is actually available for purchase just now. Exactly how Thomas Walsh thinks he can successfully undercut existing players such as Folens, Gillan Macmillan or Edco remains to be seen, but we'll be giving him a call over the coming days, and we might even seek the views of some experienced teachers on the quality of his offering once we can get our hands on it. And Sean, with that, it's back to you.
Thanks very much, Barry. And of course, Barry Hennessy will be back to us next week with more news from the world of education. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website, which is www.insideed.com. You can contact the programme on 086 8962 665. Of all our podcasts that have been put up on www.insideed.com, the most downloaded to date is the programme where I interview the director of the Teaching Council, Áine Lawler. Over the last few years, the Teaching Council has registered tens of thousands of Irish teachers, but many teachers remain angry that they are being asked to pay an annual fee for something that appears to bring little additional value to them. Perhaps the true value of the Teaching Council among teachers will only become apparent when it has time to become better established. The General Teaching Council for Scotland has been around since the 1960s, and I thought that it would be interesting to see one way in which a teaching council that is longer established than the Irish Teaching Council has evolved. In order to do that, I spoke to the Chief Executive Officer of the General Teaching Council for Scotland, Tony Finn. He has held this role for 2 years now. He began his career as a teacher of modern languages and later became head of St Andrew's High School in Kirkcaldy. He spent a decade as a council member of the General Teaching Council for Scotland, and when I met up with Tony, I began by asking him how the priorities of the General Teaching Council for Scotland have changed from when it was set up in the 1960s to 2010.
Initially, when the General Teaching Council was established in 1965, probably the main priority was to ensure that teachers were qualified, because at that time there still were a number of teachers working in schools who maybe had some academic qualifications, perhaps even had some experience, but were not qualified. And what we have done is we have moved over that 45 years to an established state now that every teacher in a school in Scotland is qualified, both in terms of their degree status and in terms of their teaching background and experience. So what we've moved from is establishing that to maintaining it, to developing it and ensuring that the standards associated with that quality in our teaching remained high and were and do continuing to improve.
And in terms of improving quality, presumably the education of teachers is a central part of that. What influence does the General Teaching Council have on the education of teachers in Scotland?
In day-to-day practice and year-in, year-out practice, we're responsible for what we call the standards. Now, these are standards for teachers when they enter the profession and when they qualify and when they assume different roles later on in their career. But at the entry point, we set the standard for qualification for entry. What is it you need to be to become a teacher of biology? What do you need to do in order to qualify in primary? We also look at the courses which provide the output into our schools. So we accredit the courses in each of our universities, determining whether they meet the expectations that we have of what a good teacher needs in 2010. And we look forward to what's going to happen as our curriculum develops and do that on behalf of the profession. We're not just doing that as a body which has an intention to prevent universities continuing to do what they do well. We're actually wanting to approve and recognise the good work that they do, while also suggesting ways in which they need to adjust to meet the changing needs of the profession as our curriculum, our assessment systems adjust and change over the years.
And do you have a say in regulating the number of teachers who are recognised in Scotland?
Yes, we advise government on the supply of teachers, but government is government, and government decides how many people it wishes to give support to go to university to train as teachers. So government makes that final judgment. But all teachers who are recognised as teachers have to be recognised by the General Teaching Council. That's not a government position, it's our position.
Okay. And if I want to register as a teacher here, what is the process, roughly speaking?
Do you mean as an Irishman or as a Scot or as anybody?
Let's take as a Scots person first of all.
Right. Well, firstly, we have something called the Memorandum on Entry Requirements. So you would have a look at that and you would see what you needed to become a teacher. You would secure a degree. We get all of our teachers are of degree status. You would then go to a university faculty of education and do a postgraduate qualification. Or alternatively, you would do a course, a B.Ed course. I believe you have them in Ireland too, which are undergraduate qualifying courses, both in the academic discipline and also in the teaching qualification. And having achieved that, you then have achieved what we call the initial standard, which is the standard for initial teacher education. So someone who, in my background, for example, I was a French teacher, I had a degree, I also did a postgraduate qualification, and although we didn't call it that in my day, I had what nowadays someone would describe as the standard for initial teacher education. That's a basic entry. Thereafter, I have to become a teacher of sufficient standing to be deemed appropriate to work in any of our schools. So we have a very, very highly sophisticated and supportive programme called the Teacher Induction Scheme. The Teacher Induction Scheme gives a teacher a guaranteed right to work in a Scottish school with the support of a mentor, with a reduced timetable commitment. They work the equivalent of 3.5 days a week in the classroom, and the remainder is on their own continuing professional development. But there's a high expectation of standards that they have to reach, and that's what we call the standard for full registration. Now, if a teacher reaches that standard for full registration, they are then deemed to be a fully qualified teacher, and that's normally a year after they have qualified as a teacher in the first place. It's a form of probation, but it's quite rigorous, and it's a scheme that was described internationally as world-leading, and many other countries have been looking at the way we do that and trying to find ways to introduce it. It's quite expensive, and it was very brave and courageous of government to introduce it at a time when governments had money, and it's probably something that we in the teaching profession in Scotland now have to make sure they retain at times when they don't.
And once you receive that fully qualified status then, are there any ongoing requirements for renewing your registration with the council?
Not at the moment. At the moment, a teacher who maintains access to pupils in classrooms and keeps paying their annual fee is registered and remains registered. But government is actually asking us now to look at a system such as that which you've described, which would allow us to recognise the continuing professional development of teachers. Now, that's obviously quite a difficult and sensitive issue, and we're looking at that from the point of view of assuming that teachers who are in our classrooms are very good, which was what we believe, and that what we need to do is find an entitlement for them to pick up the CPD needs that they require to take them forward as the profession changes and as the needs of teachers and classrooms change. And we're looking at that quite closely at the moment and talking to government and trade unions about it.
Okay. And you mentioned there the annual fee. What is the annual registration fee for the council?
Our annual fee is £45.
And how many members do you have?
There are roughly 80,000 teachers registered with us. Now, there are fewer than 80,000 obviously working in schools, because a number of our teachers are in posts which they no longer operate in classrooms, including myself. I'm a registered teacher, but I'm not in a classroom anymore. There are also people who work in directorates, who work as education support teams, and there are people who have allowed their active service to lapse for family reasons. So we have about 20,000 teachers who are not active in classrooms but could return. So there's about 80,000 in total, and we reckon possibly somewhere of the order of 50,000 to 60,000 in our state schools and in private schools in Scotland.
And I want to return now to a question that you anticipated earlier. If an Irish person wanted to register with the General Teaching Council for Scotland, is it possible, and what would they have to do?
Yeah, firstly, under the EU directive on teacher mobility, a qualified Irish teacher would expect to be registered in Scotland if they met the reasonable standards that we have described. And indeed, if someone in Ireland was registered with the Teaching Council for Ireland, then normally we are expected to register them in Scotland. Now, there are obviously cases where there might be some differences in approach, but these are broadly bureaucratic rather than principled, and we would expect to overcome them.
So there isn't a formal reciprocal arrangement between the teaching councils in Ireland and Scotland, but it seems more informal. Would that be right?
Well, firstly, the EU directive is established by the European Community, so there's a legal one which we have to endorse. But there are growing and improving relationships between teaching councils across Europe and across the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland in particular. So we have established a number of protocols with our colleagues in Mainota, and we've also established similar protocols with other teaching councils in the rest of the United Kingdom.
And just as a matter of interest, what's the availability of teaching jobs like here for primary and post-primary teachers in Scotland?
Unfortunately, it is very, very difficult to get a job in Scotland at the moment. Because of the dire financial circumstances which are facing all of our communities, there has been a reduction in the number of teachers in our schools, and we have an oversupply at the moment. So it is difficult to get a permanent job. However, there are always jobs available at the start of school sessions, and more jobs come available in the course of a year. But it would be wrong of me to say this is an encouraging time for anybody to apply for a job in Scotland. There are jobs, but they're difficult to get.
What is the status of the teaching profession in Scotland, Tony?
I'd have to give you that my opinion. I think the status is pretty good. I think we live in litigious times in Scotland, as in Ireland, as in every other country, and there are always people trying to argue that teachers and teaching isn't as it was, or that standards of competence are lower than they might have been. In fact, most teachers believe that parents trust them, and the press seems to trust teachers, and we think that the status of teachers is pretty high. It's not as high as in those misty days of the past, which possibly never existed, when there was a dominie in a local school who was the person that everybody looked to for advice. But I don't think those days ever really existed. But generally speaking, the status is quite high. But we do suffer from occasional criticism from parts of the press in Scotland, as I'm sure in Ireland, often over populist criticisms which are not founded in reality. But that's our job, to try and promote teaching, to make sure we can come through those difficult days and keep the standard of teaching high and the confidence in teachers high.
And if we take the General Teaching Council for Scotland then, how is the council itself perceived among teachers?
That's a difficult one, because we've recently had a consultation on the future of the General Teaching Council for Scotland, which was conducted by the Scottish Government, and they published a report in February of this year. And there were something of the order of 220, 250 responses, and were nearly all very positive.
And They
were from teachers, from trade unions, from universities, from local authorities, and also from teachers and from parents. And there was hardly any negative comment. It was nearly all very positive. And the purpose of this consultation was to try to consider what the next stage should be for the General Teaching Council in Scotland. Should it be given more powers? Should it be given enhanced status? And in fact, actually, that's what finding government made, that we should be given greater powers, we should assume an independent status, and we should be enhanced in the powers that we additionally that we've had to date. Now, that's the one side of the argument. The other side is, if you went into one of our staff rooms and said, you know, to teachers, what do you get for the £45, or do you like having a general teaching council, then necessarily there are teachers who aren't terribly convinced of the purpose of the General Teaching Council, because they don't see in their day-to-day life what it is that we do. And yet, on the other hand, if you argue that you take away their professional body, they would be upset about it. So it's this conundrum that, by and large, the educational establishment and all of teachers' organisations and representatives think it's a good thing to have a teaching council. But, you know, on a dark day in November, when someone's taking £45 out of your salary, then you probably think, well, why am I giving them that money when I'm a good teacher and I'm never going to be struck off for anything? But what you have to remember, if you're in that position, is that we actually protect all teachers, and particularly those who never have anything to fear from our processes, and we promote their high standards, we promote teaching as a profession, and we defend and promote teachers across Scottish education. So, you know, it's maybe hidden from them sometimes at the times when they might criticise us, and you will find people who would. But generally, most people think the General Teaching Council in Scotland is a good thing, but we've had 45 years to establish our presence.
And have you ever had to strike teachers off the register?
Yes, yes, of course we do. Teachers, we have to remove teachers from the register for a number of reasons. Sometimes teachers don't come through the quite rigorous qualification standards that I described earlier. So, you know, they've been through a period of probation and they haven't met the standards, or they've been given opportunities to extend their experience to seek to meet them and they haven't met them. And then, of course, there are those whose behaviour. Now, by behaviour, it can be a conviction in a court of law, or it might be a question of conduct of a teacher. If a teacher behaves in an inappropriate way, which brings the standing of the profession into disrepute, then both the employer and ourselves as the teaching council may have to take action. And lastly, we also have the power to strike off a teacher whose competence is chronically unacceptable. Not somebody who's going through a difficulty who needs support to come back to an acceptable standard, but if somebody's chronically incompetent, then we can and do remove them from the register.
And about how many teachers would we be talking about in a year, say, that would need to be struck off?
I need to give you fuller details than that, but the number of teachers who are struck off, I mean, last year, for example, I think we struck off 17, and that was the highest we'd struck off for quite a number of years. Normally, I would have thought 10, 12 per year in these categories. And if you think of the fact that quite a number of them will be those who have been through courts and are criminally convicted of offences which would make them unsuitable to work with children, then it's not a large number from our 80,000. So really what we would say is that overwhelmingly Scottish teachers behave well, work well and teach well, but as in any profession there will be a small number of teachers who will bring the profession into disrepute, and that's our job, to try and ensure that children don't suffer as a result of that.
And as you say, the General Teaching Council has had 45 years to establish itself. What do you do to communicate the work that you're doing here at headquarters with the members, with the teaching members of the body?
We actually do a great deal of work to try to communicate with teachers. We communicate with them firstly by our Teaching Scotland magazine, which gives some details of everything that we are doing, what we're planning, things that are coming. We have a website which gives some very significant amounts of information about the job that we do and the information about things that we think they might be interested in doing. We relate very closely to teachers when they're qualifying or when they're approaching or seeking to maintain one of the standards that I've described. And one I haven't mentioned so far is a standard for headship, the principals, as you call them in Ireland. We work to try and ensure that they are approaching the right standard, and we give them that particular standard, which we call the standard for headship. We also look at national conferences and events, which will give opportunities to teachers to come and hear high-level speakers. We provide opportunities for teachers in different areas to understand the way in which our functions operate. One of my colleagues yesterday, for example, was talking to a large number of teachers in one part of the country about issues to do with what we call the code of competence. And we also talk about professional practice and what that might mean, because there's some very, very difficult decisions that have to be made, and sometimes teachers need a bit of guidance to ensure that they stay on the sensible side of difficult decisions, for example, to do with the internet, because you can drift into the wrong type of decision as a teacher. And, of course, we have teachers who are on our council. Our council has a large number of teachers. We have a majority of teachers. So we stay in contact with teachers, and our teachers on the council wouldn't let us drift too far away from teacher interest.
And I see you also do celebrity endorsements. You have Annie Lennox on the cover of this month's Teaching Scotland.
Yes, Annie's speaking. Annie's our a speaker at our conference on Thursday. It's part of the Edinburgh Festival, which you will be familiar with, of course. And Annie's speaking in the Festival of Politics on Thursday. And what we try to do there is just provide a platform for interesting public figures to talk about issues which will be perhaps relevant to education, but not deriving directly from education. And what Annie's going to talk about is the global impact of underprivilege in the third world and the crisis of AIDS. And these are issues that we should all, as moral beings, be concerned about, and teachers must be moral beings.
And finally, Tony, how do you think the profession of teaching will be different in 5-10 years' time?
That's a difficult one, because in Scotland there are some parts of that answer which are easy and there are some parts which are difficult, and some of it will be transferable to Ireland and some of it won't be. Globally, firstly, there's the crisis in education as a result of the budget cuts. Now, that's going to force us to concentrate very clearly on priorities. So I think that it is likely that we will see a number of the opportunities, sadly, which teachers have traditionally had, being removed. So I think as a teaching body, we will have to try to make sure that teachers have enough opportunities to keep developing their skills. So that's one worry. In Scotland, we have something called the Curriculum for Excellence, which is our new curriculum, which is being introduced over the next 4 or 5 years. And that is meant to try and make us more flexible in the way we teach, perhaps less didactic and more creative in a classroom. Now, it is not going to be hugely different from what good teachers have always done, but there's a change of emphasis. And so that, I think, in 10, 15 years' time, will have changed the way teachers teach. And I suppose, lastly, since, 45 years ago when Scotland was forming its General Teaching Council, we were forming a council in a small country which thought separately, which was very distinct from England, and didn't really have to worry about other parts of the world. We're now in a global world where everything that we do is in connection and communication with every other part of the world, and where pupils can quickly get access to as much information from the internet as they can from a teacher. So the type of teaching, the type of learning which we're going to have in schools in 10, 15 years' time is going to be very, very different from the way it was when I was at school.
And that was Tony Finn, and Tony is the CEO of the Scottish General Teaching Council for Scotland. And the school at the location of St Andrews High School, where Tony Finn was principal before becoming the CEO of the General Teaching Council for Scotland, is located in a place called Kirkcuddy. Barry corrected my pronunciation of that during the programme. That's it. In a future programme as well, I'll bring you some more details about the General Teaching Council for Scotland's, in particular their scheme for chartered teachers and their certificates of professional recognition. That's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on www.insideed.com or on iTunes. You can email us on insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to this week's guest, Tony Finn, and also to Barry Hennessy for the education news. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.